Coming to you from our studios in Dallas, Texas, and recorded live, Science News is on the air right now.
This is the promise of tomorrow, where people and industry keep up with the business of emerging and nanotechnologies. The fields covered in this series of programs will include energy, defense, aerospace, medicine, semiconductors, and more. For the next hour, Colonel Mason will introduce his experts, and you'll be on the cutting edge of the promise of tomorrow.
Thank you for joining us again. In the first half hour, we have Janet Marsden. She's a PhD student at the School of Information Studies in Syracuse University, and she envisions a time when we won't get our power anymore from the grid the way that we get it. She thinks it's dangerous and antiquated, but actually each of our homes and businesses will have its own power generation and be controlled by the grid through RF. And then in the second half hour, Dr. Krishna Shenai is going to be with us. He's a professor of electrical engineering and computer science at the University of Toledo in Ohio. He says there's a big waste inside our computers and our cell phones of the DC connections, and that's what's causing them to get so hot and be inefficient. And of course, we're going to visit the Den of Strangers, visit our fountain of useless information in the second half of the program, and at the end of the show, listener comments and the voice of reason. Well, of course, as is our practice, we're interviewing some of the people that are going to be making presentations at the IEEE Green Technology Conference going on in Baton Rouge, the middle of April. And we're real fortunate to have with us today a lady by the name of Janet Marsden, who is with Syracuse University. And Janet, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
Now, you're going to be making a presentation there, but you're doing lots of other things, too. First, let's begin. Tell me about the presentation. What are you going to be presenting at the Green Technology Conference in Baton Rouge?
The wireless grid, which is new technology based on... I'm looking for the standard right now. It's 805.
Okay.
IEEE standard 802.11, which is for Wi-Fi. And what that is software-defined radio systems, also called cognitive radio networks.
You're really losing me, Janet. I'm the dumbest guy around, and everybody, all the guests and all the listeners are smarter than me, but this, I really can't understand this. What exactly is the application of this stuff that you're working on? What is it going to do for the average person?
Well, the main thing that people need to understand is that currently our electrical grid is stretched to its limit. Mm-hmm. We have created a grid which is incredibly complex, and it is almost unmanageable at this point. And I can point to increasing numbers of blackouts, brownouts, and system failures as evidence of that.
Mm-hmm.
So part of the problem is that what we're using in this application is 100-year-old technology.
Yeah.
We have simply continued to build on our original distribution and transmission technology. And at this point in time, we've created a grid which is so complex that it's unmanageable. So because we have wireless architectures at this point, what we want to look at is a different way to approach the energy delivery problem. And the way that I'm suggesting we should look at it is that we should look at, really, automotive technology, for example. When we look at the next generation of automobiles, you know, if you think about it, what you really have is an envelope which has certain energy requirements. It needs to be able to go down the road. It needs to be able to, monitor fuel. It needs to be able to provide climate control. It needs to be able to move at 60 miles an hour, you know, but basically it's an energy, it's powered by an energy delivery system which is self-contained.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if we think about our buildings and our various structures in the same way, it becomes pretty obvious that one of the things that we're doing, which is incredibly inefficient, is we're transporting energy hundreds and in some cases thousands of miles, and the energy losses due to this transport mechanism are enormous, and it's really unnecessary.
Well, now, wait a minute. You say it's unnecessary, but what would we replace it with? I mean, what are you talking about? You're talking about a coal-fired power plant right on site for a city or for an industry or something?
No. What I'm talking about is things like microhydro, vertical axis windmills, ground source heating and cooling, which is geothermal, and hybrid systems, which are tailored to the site, to the region, to a municipality potentially, and next generation hydro, next generation wind, and local production. In other words, energy harvesting from alternative sources in order to remove the necessity of transporting energy over great distances.
Now, wait a minute. I want to ask you about this. If you're talking about wind, is very, very unreliable. So that, you know, we still have to have coal-fired furnaces. And next-generation hydro, are you talking about pumping water up to a tower and then using it to turn a turbine as it comes down? And then you're going to have power to do that. Does that come from the grid? Let's drill down on these things a little bit.
Okay. Basically, what we have is things like photovoltaic and wind hybrid systems, and we do the load balancing at the site.
Well, you do the load balancing at the site. Now, you're talking about solar and you're talking about wind, two very unreliable things. And solar still doesn't yield what it ought to yield.
They balance and complement each other.
In other words, the big
challenge with alternative energies is to bring the power where you need it, when you need it. And that's the same challenge with our traditional power plants. Except that the problem with our traditional power plants is that because we have a centralized distribution system, we have to overproduce power and we have to overdevelop our capacity in order to meet peak need. Okay, so that means that we overproduce all the time in order to have enough for peak demand. But if you look at the production that is potentially available over time, we have more than enough power. We just don't have it when we want it. The real challenge in sustainable alternative energies is storage. In other words, when you create a hydro plant, you build a dam. The reason you build the dam is so that you can release the water and control the generation of power so that when you want the power, you can make the power.
Okay.
However, this limiting factor actually is all related to our battery technology, which has really advanced enormously quite recently, and which will continue to advance. With battery technology, such as we're looking at for the next generation of electric cars, for example, we can use that same battery technology in buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of having an oil truck come to the gas station and fill up the tank with oil or with gasoline for your to run your furnace or to run your car, how about if the truck showed up with, you know, car battery sized boxes, each one of which could power a small house for, say, a month?
Now, you're talking about a battery advances that fast that we would be able to power our houses on a battery delivered to us in a small box for a month? Where's this technology coming from, Janet?
It's going to come from the automotive industry. The automotive industry is already working on this. Think about it. If you have a car that will run for 100,000 miles and can be recharged every day and provides enough power to make that car move at 60 miles an hour, for X number of miles. When you translate that into the normal load on a house, in terms of electricity consumption, you're not really talking about that big of a difference. So how many batteries do you need for that car? How many batteries do you need for that house?
Yeah, but right now the car batteries are being recharged off the power grid, and that is expected to continue because people are putting up charging stations all over the place. So how is this going to be different, Janet?
Well, you make the house itself into a charging station, and you do the load balancing by putting the batteries there.
All right, so each house then would contain wind and solar and be free of the electric grid. I mean, you see this as a real possibility and a real movement. Is that right?
Yes. If you do the analysis, which it's all at the Department of Energy website, you can see that there are ample supplies of energy. And one of the biggest challenges with the new alternative energies is actually sizing them upward to match, a nuclear power plant, for example. What I'm suggesting is that we don't really need to do that. It makes a lot more sense to simply size that system for a particular application. In other words, okay, what are the requirements for a living environment? Okay, you have a certain amount of space. You need to heat it or cool it to a certain ambient temperature. So you use ground source geothermal, which serves for either heating or cooling with simple heat pump, which does not demand a huge amount of electricity. Lights, demands. Okay, but there are big blocks of time in any given day or week where there's very, very little demand, but you still have the potential to continue to generate power. So where do you put it? You put it into the battery.
All right, I'm going to try to summarize what I think you're telling me. You're envisioning that my home would be able to have geothermal because of a heat pump by using ground temperatures, which are pretty constantly of a cool or a warm temperature, depending upon its outside relationship. You're talking about the roof or big areas with photovoltaic and which won't collect at nighttime, and wind, which won't collect when the wind isn't blowing, but with batteries that will store it when the excess energy when the wind and the solar isn't going. And all of this will give me enough electricity for my home and let me charge my car. Now, is that the picture we're talking about?
That's the picture we're talking about. And the way that the utility companies really can benefit from this is that, okay, for starters, all of the control all the controlling telemetry can be wireless. And that's where the wireless grids technology comes in. That means that because the power is generated on site or possibly centralized to a small extent, for example, in a dense urban area, it means that the companies don't have to maintain power lines anymore. Do you really think that modern telecommunications hasn't caused our telephone companies to make huge investments in wireless cellular telephones versus landlines? They don't want to be in the business of maintaining landlines. It's very expensive. It's very inefficient. And as they get away from landlines and focus on improving wireless communications, the telephone poles that they share with the utility companies are increasingly going to be single-use poles, which means that they're going to get more expensive. Transmission and distribution is going to get more expensive, just as landline telephones have gotten more expensive. So what really makes sense is for the utility companies to look at how to develop on-site systems, which they can lease or sell to homeowners, to business owners, and sell service agreements for them to maintain them, develop upgrades. You know, basically, our electrical grid and our electrical generation technologies are 100 years old, and we really need to look at what is 21st century electrical generation need to look like.
Well, I think you're kind of answering my question for me then. Who would own these systems would be the electric companies that would rent them to us. Would they meter them too and charge us for the amount of electricity we use, or would it be a standard monthly rental we'd pay to them and they would be the owners?
I think the business model that really makes sense is similar to a cell phone model. In other words, you know, you buy the equipment or rent the equipment, lease the equipment possibly, and basically the power company maintains it, upgrades it as needed, invests in the development of the technology, making it reliable, making it secure. And it's not as if the existing power plants have to go away. You know, there will be situations where there will be equipment failures, because we know that always exists in any kind of real life situation. But at the power company's generation sites, we simply have more storage. And if you need a battery, because you know your system is on the blink, they bring you out some batteries. While they're repairing your system.
So you envision then we would do away entirely with coal-fired electric power plants. There would be these individual households or businesses that would have these other combinations of solar and wind and thermal with storage of batteries. And you're going to have to help me out a little bit again. Where is the wireless come in? Is that the distributing the electricity throughout the house then would be wireless? Is that what you're saying?
Well, no. The wireless grid allows the remote monitoring of the performance of the system.
Okay. Right.
In other words, you know, if there is a problem, you know, for example, the temperature in the house falls below a certain level in the wintertime, there would be an indication to a responsible person that was happening, so that your pipes don't freeze. Or if the charging capacity was not meeting the code, there would be, you know, an alarm that there was a problem with the system.
All right, Janet, I've got to ask you, you know, because everybody is saying, gee whiz, this sounds like utopia, sounds really good, but is there currently a site that is operating like this? I mean, is this plausible today, or is this some pie-in-the-sky thing we're looking at, you know, for 2050?
Well, it's obviously going to be a lengthy transition. I don't see this happening in a couple of years, but what I do see is that in Norway, Denmark, and other EU countries, they are already building prototypes of this type of residence, and I am sure that it's going to happen over time, because it simply makes too much sense.
Well, it would certainly get away from coal. China, I understand, is building one new coal-fired furnace every day, And so with this technology, would do away with the need to have coal-fired electric furnaces. And, but you say it's in Norway or in Scandinavia where these things are being proof of a concept, I guess we could call it. But no place in America, there's no place we can go visit right at the moment. It's all just concept, right?
Well, if you look at the U.S. Green Buildings Council, you know, the LEED development, they are working on, you know, higher performance models of, you know, energy efficient design, and they are moving in that direction. And we have many of the technologies already in place, but nobody has actually put it all together up to this point. And that's what my proposal is actually all about, because I am trying to get grant money to actually install and test the concept.
Okay, well, I understand there's grant money available from the Department of Energy, and so there's going to be a grant writing course given at the same conference where you're going to be making your presentation. The Department of Energy is going to tell people how to write their grants, so you could be in pretty good shape with that.
I hope I will be.
Well, we want to keep track of
here in Syracuse, the Syracuse Center for Excellence, which is affiliated with Syracuse University, is involved in several alternative energy and sustainability projects, and I'm hoping to put together an interdisciplinary team from different departments here at the university and actually build some prototypes. And it would not require the development of any new technology. In other words, in order to accomplish the type of system that I'm talking about would only require putting together components that already exist.
All right, that's great. Well, we're going to look forward to seeing you in Baton Rouge the 14th and 15th of April. You had wanted to give some websites of some of the things that you're working on, and there were some other things you wanted to touch on today too, isn't there?
Yes, I'd like to give the website for the Wireless Grids Lab.
Okay.
And that's http://wglab.net.
Okay.
And that's the Wireless Grids Lab, which is a collaboration between Syracuse University and Virginia Tech. And we are creating the Wireless Grid Innovation Test Bed, which is an NSF-supported Partnership for Innovation grant. And I also would like to mention Catalco,
yeah,
Collaboration Laboratory, which is the Center for Research on Collaboratories and Technology-Enhanced Learning Communities. And that is a joint research center which is located at the School of International Service at American University in Washington and the School of Information Studies here at Syracuse University. Basically, it's building partnerships for education between groups in different countries, and there are many locations around the world that are involved with our collaboration laboratory.
All right, Janet, you've been a most interesting guest, and I know the sun doesn't shine very much up there in Syracuse, so I'm sure that when you're in Baton Rouge in mid-April, you'll be able to go back with a really, really nice suntan, and we'll look forward to seeing you at the conference.
I'm very much looking forward to visiting Baton Rouge. I've never been to Louisiana before, and I think it's going to be a great trip.
Yes, wonderful. You'll enjoy it a whole lot. All right, good talking to you. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much. It's been a real pleasure.
Okay, as we walk to the break at the half hour, we're going to pause at the door of the Den of Strangers, where we keep locked away all of the wisdom of mankind. Who in the Den of Strangers will we meet today?
Abraham Lincoln. If I were to try to read, much less answer,
all the attacks made on me, this shop may as well be closed for any other business. I do the very best I can, and I mean to keep doing so until the end. If the end brings me out all right, what is said against me won't amount to anything. If the end brings me out wrong, 10 angels swearing I was right would make no difference.